Welcome to DCU's Teaching Enhancement Unit Podcasts, an audio discovery series for teaching and learning in higher education. Hello, my name is Lisa Donaldson and welcome to another episode in DCU's Teaching Enhancement Unit Podcast called A Discovery Series for Teaching and Learning in Higher Education. And this morning I'd like to welcome Peter Tiernan, who's a lecturer in the School of STEM, Education, Innovation and Global Studies in the Institute of Education. Welcome, Peter. Can I just start by asking you to introduce yourself a little, please?
Of course. Hi, Lisa. How are you? Yes. So as you say, I'm a lecturer in the School of STEM, Education, Innovation and Global Studies in the Institute of Education in DCU. I teach across a number of programs in the Institute, predominantly post-primary. So I teach on our PME post-primary, our BSc in Education and Training, our post-primary teachers in Gaeilge and French, German, or Spanish, and on our EdDoc program. I predominantly teach in the areas of ICT and digital pedagogy, but I also have modules on entrepreneurship and innovation.
Okay, so you're busy. And certainly if it's around IT and ICT, I would imagine that the last year has been challenging, to say the least. So perhaps you'd like to share a little bit about how that's impacted on your teaching.
Well, I mean, like everybody else, I think that the last 18 months or so has been incredibly challenging. And I think that everybody in the DCU community, the staff and students have done a great job in adjusting to the new normal and making sure that things ran as smoothly as possible. Now, I suppose what the impact really for me was bringing together some of the skills that I have in terms of ICT and technology integration and using that to solve some of the challenges that that we identified on some of the programs across the Institute over the last 18 months.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can imagine your expertise in that area would be highly sought after. Can I ask then, how has your teaching changed? I mean, the teaching and learning aspect or the assessment challenges that you would have faced. How has COVID impacted those?
We identified that particularly our PME students were in a situation where not only were they students during the pandemic, so they needed to learn online, but they also needed to continue their teaching placement online. So they needed to be students online, but also be teachers online. So they were faced with this dual challenge of figuring out how to learn online, but also to teach online at the same time. And there was nothing really there on the program in particular that I'm talking about today, the PME program. There was nothing specifically that equipped those students to teach online. Now, obviously, modules that I have on the PME and other lecturers have on the PME would consider the use of ICT inside and outside the classroom, but the focus was always on, as an additional element. So you would be seeing the students face to face and you might set them a task that involved ICT, or you might flip the classroom and, have the content be delivered online, but the discussion happen in class, or you might have discussions happening, online, or the use of video content, interactive content, all of that stuff. But there was always that space in the face-to-face classroom where you could, bridge learning and bring together the elements that you were delivering with ICT with face-to-face delivery. Whereas that wasn't really possible, obviously, during various times throughout the pandemic when schools were closed. And also, I suppose we need to consider that some of the students on the PME were first-year PME students. So they had no experience in teaching, let alone teaching in an online environment. So what I did was, in conjunction with the program team, was to develop a module to help our PMEs to continue their teaching practice online. So developed a module in teaching online pedagogy, so teaching in online and blended learning environments.
Interesting. So what were the main elements that would have been included in that program, in that module?
So trying to wrap it up in, that they would have all of the required pieces so that they would understand not only the technology, so not just the tools, but the pedagogy, so the how, the why, the when, but also a bit of context. So, you know, what is the environment that they now find themselves in? How does that relate to what other teachers have experienced? How does that relate to, you know, challenges that they will face and other teachers have faced over time? So it was, I suppose, a couple of core aspects to the module. First was a contextual piece. So looking at the historical perspective of ICT and technology in the classroom and outside of the classroom, so giving them a sense of where has this all come from, all the way back to, you know, the integration of CD-ROMs in the classroom and teachers' concerns about, is this going to replace me? How do I, you know, is this type of assessment going to assess what I really want to assess? And we discussed how some of those challenges have continued right the way through all of the different tools and technologies.
And speaking of assessment, I do believe that you included peer assessment as part of the module.
Yes, so it was, I suppose it was more of a peer evaluation rather than assessment. So there was a couple of challenges that I was trying to overcome. One was the scale of the module. So it was delivered to approximately 285 students. Mm-hmm. So we had our PME1s and our PME2s. So from an assessment point of view, the core pillars of the module were looking at synchronous learning, so delivering webinars and live lectures, asynchronous content, so recording content for the students to view at a later time, and facilitating online discussion, so things like discussion forums. And we looked at various different strategies and techniques in there. So it was always technology second, pedagogy first. So how might you deliver a webinar? Why might you deliver a webinar? Why might you use it? What are the strategies that you might use? What are the advantages and disadvantages from a teacher's point of view, from a student's point of view? What kind of interactions might you facilitate? Just for example. So that challenge of the 285 students, you know, multiplied by the three different pillars. So they're the delivery of synchronous content, asynchronous content, and form delivery. The solution that I came up with was to divide the students into groups of five, and then each student would deliver a session to their smaller group. So they would have four students. And as part of that, each of the students in that group, so watching one of their peers deliver, would have a peer evaluation sheet. And that peer evaluation sheet had listed all of the skills that we talked about. So that might be asking questions, varying the type of media you're using in a webinar. For asynchronous content, it might be around the quality of the recording, the quality of the delivery, but also the provision of communication channels. So, you know, if you have any questions about this content, don't forget to send me an email, or we're going to continue the discussion online. Follow me on Twitter, or, you know, here's a link to a forum where we can discuss this. And they could rate each other then from, you know, needs improvement all the way up to excellent. And there was space for them to provide comment. So it was a tool that was there, again, to in some ways solve a problem. So the problem of how does one lecturer assess all of these components, but also I suppose a forum and a space for the students to provide each other with this this feedback and this supportive comment on each other's work.
Excellent. So how did you find the students managed with that? I mean, did you need to provide additional support around that kind of peer review process, around using the marking guide, or was there any additional support you needed to give them?
So for each of the sessions, we did walk through that evaluation sheet and we spoke about what that meant. It was all very clearly linked back to what we had discussed in the module. So each of the areas that they were looking out for in terms of, you know, what their colleague was delivering was something that we had covered. And I suppose the real focus was on support. So it was looking at, of course, we need to assist each other in identifying any sort of opportunities for improvement or opportunities for development. But if you remember back to the time that we were all kind of operating in, this was very new territory for everybody. And, you know, the teachers were looking at potentially, at the time, it was only potentially schools closing and teaching online. And there was a lot of concern around, you know, what will I do? Will I be able to do this? Some had, as I said at the beginning, some had never, not alone, never used technology to teach before, but had never taught before. So what I was really trying to do was build that sense of a supportive way of providing each other with feedback. So the focus was on constructive criticism. And in my previous career, I worked as a training manager, and we did an awful lot of coaching. So I came at this from a coaching perspective, where it was, you know, really helping people to identify their own strengths and then areas for improvement.
Sorry to interrupt, just to say that's a wonderful approach, because particularly around about that time, that kind of level of almost mentoring and support was very badly needed. And I assume that was well appreciated by the students, was it?
Yeah. So in line with that support, I suppose, to address the initial question around were they sure what they were meant to be doing, I did feel that the students needed support. And I don't mean that in a sense that they actively weren't able to do anything. I just got a sense that there was a concern around the possibility of moving online, a concern around all of these new tools and strategies. So all the way through the module, I set up these drop-in sessions. So on a Monday and Friday of every week, there was a half an hour slot where I had a Zoom lecture with a very small L. In fact, it wasn't really a lecture. It was just an open Zoom meeting where the students could just drop in at any stage during that half an hour and ask me anything. So they could ask me about something we'd covered the previous week. They could ask me about peer assessment. They could ask me about something they were going to try online or try in the classroom. So that they had this sense that they had somewhere to go that wasn't, you know, formal, that they weren't asking a question, interrupting a lecture, that they didn't have to, you know, ask something that sounded smart or sounded clever in the context of, you know, a session. They could just come along and get support. And I really felt I needed to do something like that, because we were entering that new territory with them. And they did appreciate that sense of feeling supported. I got an awful lot of messages, you know, after things did ramp up in terms of the pandemic and schools were closed. I got a lot of, you know, messages from students just thanking me for having given them the content, but more so for supporting them and being there to, you know, address any concerns or questions that they had.
And did you find that the students found it beneficial to be, I suppose, integrated into that assessment process? Did they gain insights into how to assess their own learning then, perhaps, for going forward?
Yeah, so one of the interesting things, so I did conduct an evaluation with them a couple of months after the module had finished. I sent out anonymous questionnaire, just looking for some feedback around the key elements, like around the content and the assessment strategies and how prepared they felt following completion of the module. And certainly they did feel that the peer assessment tools and the approach of being in groups helped them to identify their own strengths and weaknesses, because they could see it categorized in front of them. So they were looking at the aspects that they were trying to accomplish. So, you know, they were trying to ask questions. They were trying to make sure that for recorded sessions that there was communication channels open. So that highlighted to them, this is something I should do in asynchronous content. So that helped. It also helped some of the comments that were put in, where it was great to see what other teachers were doing. So how they were approaching online teaching, and they learned a lot from each other. So while they were evaluating another teacher, they were almost taking mental notes to self, I'll try that, or I could do that in the future. I liked how Lisa did that, or I liked how Peter did that. And they were able to take that. So not only did they learn from themselves, so from the actual act of delivering the sessions themselves, but by witnessing their peers, they learned from that. And one of the most interesting things that came from those sessions was, in a time when everybody was disconnected, the students felt that it helped them to connect with each other. They felt part of this small group, these five people trying to learn how to teach online. And they felt that they connected with each other and could support each other in that kind of step into this unknown, not to sound too grandiose about it, but the step into doing things a little bit differently than they were expecting to be doing things when they started the course.
That's fantastic. Yeah, creating that those connections and sense of community and kinship with colleagues and fellow students is always critical, but never more critical than during the COVID crisis when everybody is remote. So can I ask then, from your perspective, do you consider it a success from your assessment workload, from the feedback that you've gotten from your students? Is this an approach that you will carry forward?
Yeah, so, I mean, I suppose the first thing is that it was a big undertaking. And, you know, it wasn't only me that was involved. There was an awful lot of people. Granted, I put together the module and delivered the module. But in order for this to happen, there need to be a lot of people who are ready to find credits in programs, to approve module specifications, to add them to academic structures, all in record time. You know, the teaching placement team needed to be aware of what I was doing so that when placement moved online, they knew what I had delivered to the students. So a lot of stuff had to happen very quickly. And I think that the program team did a great job in making things happen when they needed to happen. Looking back at a little bit of a distance now, so I'm probably 15 months from when I started to put this module together. So when I needed to start thinking about what would I do, how would I help the students, I suppose my overriding reflection is that it was great that the challenge was able to be turned into an opportunity. And I think that opportunity, as I said, with the support of an awful lot of people in DCU to make it happen, I think looking back now, I think it benefited everybody. I think that, you know, I got to really dig deep into what are the online and blended learning approaches that teachers might need. And I think the teachers were willing to take this and, you know, look at how this would, you know, impact their practice as well. But to address your question, I mean, I felt that it was successful in that the feedback that I received throughout the module was very positive. And based on the evaluations, you know, the students felt that it really helped them to grow in confidence during the times when they needed to teach online. They felt prepared to engage with their students, develop the right content, you know, mix the strategies between live webinars, asynchronous content, providing discussion forum activities for their students. But most encouragingly, I think a lot of the comments suggested that at this stage, they were back in the classroom and they were beginning to use the strategies that they'd learned to teach online to teach in the classroom. It helped them to refocus and really look at, why am I asking this question? Why am I asking it now? Why am I doing this activity? Why am I doing it now? And it helped them to examine their face-to-face practice. And they used an awful lot of the tools and strategies in their face-to-face practice too, which I found very encouraging.
Yes, I think we're going to see a lot of that blend between online practices and face-to-face practices going forward. I'm just curious, just to finish up really with regards to your peer assessment approach. It seems to have been very successful. And if others were considering that as an approach themselves, would there be any particular advice you might give around the setup of a peer review or peer assessment process or the managing of that?
So I suppose, as I alluded to a couple of minutes ago, I definitely went into that aspect from a supportive point of view. I was really conscious that most, if not all, of the students hadn't engaged in online teaching before. And I was really keen to emphasize, I want this to be, you know, a supportive process, and I want to make sure that you identify each other's strengths and your opportunities for improvement, but everything is done in a really supportive manner. Now, some of the feedback from the students was that there wasn't enough critique from their peers, that it was a little too much on the positive end of the spectrum. So, you know, I would have to in some ways take ownership for that, because I do recall being adamant that I wanted this to be supportive because of the, you know, the context and the situation that we all found ourselves in. So I think going forward, so this module is continuing to run, and I think going forward, I will begin to emphasize more the need to be that positive critique of each other's work, but do call out the areas where, you know, you feel that a peer needs to improve in a certain area. That can be done, but it needs to be done, you know, in a constructive manner. So I think that would be one thing that I've taken away from the process so far. But on the whole, I think linking the areas in the evaluation to areas that were covered in the module makes that connection fairly clear for the students. And I think that helps to draw out their own feedback of each other's work.
Absolutely, and certainly extends their own insight to their own work, which is hugely beneficial. That was a wonderful whirlwind trip through your new module and your assessment process. So thanks very much, Peter, for talking with us today, and much appreciated, and hope to speak to you again.
Thank you, Lisa.